Dick Barton and Colonel Gardner, having searched Sir Archibald's house, find the papers they need and are just about to leave when they hear a crash and a terrified scream from a nearby room. They open the door of the room to investigate. All the house is in darkness, the electricity having been switched off at the main, when suddenly...
For heaven's sake, shine the torch, sir.
It won't work.
Listen. Listen, sir. There's something alive coming this way.
Oh, blast the torch.
Shut the door, then.
Just a sec. There, that's got it now.
Where is this thing?
Torch is okay now.
Shine on the floor.
By Jove.
Jiminy.
Quick, Barton, quick.
Okay.
Hold torch steady. On its eyes.
Ah, got it.
Keep well back. Make sure.
Yes. Oh, what a beastly mess.
Listen a minute. Any more about?
I can't hear anything else. Just a minute. Good heavens, Barton. The place is full of glass cases. Look.
And every case has got...
Oh, what are they? Looks like some species of spider to me.
Never saw any spiders like this before.
Look at the size of the one I shot.
I wonder why it was sliding across the floor to us. Should have thought it would have run to us.
Oh, damage, maybe. When our friend knocked over its case. Yes, look at its legs.
Great heavens, sir, what a frightful-looking object.
Oh, I shall have nightmares after this.
Let's get out of the place.
Better take our friend with us.
Here, let's have a look at him. He's not dead. He's breathing.
These must be the specimens that Sir Archibald told your secretary to warn us about. Oh, pretty handy specimens they are, too. No wonder Sir Archibald's housekeeper wouldn't stay in the place by herself.
Let's clear out, Barton. These things all round in glass give me the creeps. Take this chap's legs. I'll take his head.
Well, don't knock any more cases over if you can possibly avoid it.
Thank goodness Jean didn't come here with us. Imagine the effect of all this on her.
Oh, I don't know. Miss Hunter strikes me as being pretty hard-boiled.
She's a girl in a million, Barton, believe me. I'd rather have her by my side than two men on occasions.
Okay, Liv.
Let's get him outside as quickly as we can.
Colonel Gardner! That you, sir? We heard a shot.
Hello. What do you got there, sir? A corpse?
I don't think so. Come on, let's have a look at him. Oh, but first of all, Constable, there's a phone over there. You phone up the zoo.
The zoo, sir?
That's what I said, the zoo. Ring them up and ask them to send someone over right away who knows something about spiders or similar creatures.
Spiders, sir?
Yes, tell them it's urgent and vital. And I don't care whom they have to drag out of bed to do it. And you, officer, take a look round and see if you can find the main switch.
Yes, sir.
Let's have a bit of light on the scene. But whatever you do, don't go into that room over there until the lights are switched on.
If this fellow doesn't seem to be showing much signs of coming round...
Shine the torch on his face. Has he been bitten anywhere?
Can't see any marks. No. Of course, they wouldn't show very well, would they? Not unless the poison of the bite discolored the flesh.
Now, that's funny. Doesn't seem to be any mark on him. He's breathing fairly naturally. I think it must be shock.
Wonder who he is. One of Crom's men.
Might be. Whoever he is, he got past the police guard all right. Mind you, on a night like this, that wouldn't be too difficult.
Ah, that's better. Now we can see where we are.
Well, thank you, Constable.
That's all right, sir. Found the switch easy enough.
When your pal has finished with the phone, you'd better ring for some reinforcements. I want this downstairs room cleared.
What's in it, sir?
Come and have a look.
There you are.
Golly, sir. What an horrid collection.
Pretty pets, aren't they? Good heavens, Colonel. They do give you the willies, don't they?
The point is, are they all perfectly safe and harmless or are they poisonous? In any case, what the devil does Sir Archibald Wrangle want with cases full of live spiders and things?
They're all so big. Look at this cockroach here. It's four or five times natural size.
What's this mess on the floor, sir?
That, my friend, is a little specimen that took a particular liking to us.
Oh, good job you shot it before it become too attached to you, sir.
That's the thing must have crawled over our friend in the hall. Seems to upset him.
Yes, must say it would have upset me.
Oh, look at these ants, sir. In this case here. Why, I've never seen ants anything like that as big as this before. I suppose they are ants.
Look like it. Phew, Jiminy. Nearly as big as mice.
Well, let's get out of this chamber of horrors and get this chap back, safe under lock and key.
Well, our friend doesn't seem to show any signs of life, does he?
No. Oh, funny that. Well, come on, Barton. Let's get him to a doctor. He's too useful to leave lying round. He may be able to help us a lot. He's the first real clue we've got.
If he'll talk.
As I said before, we can't be too squeamish in this case. There's too much at stake. If he knows anything, he'll talk. Otherwise...
Well, you can't use third-degree methods in this country, can you?
I'd adopt any methods myself, rather than let Cramer hold the world to ransom. But I think a casual mention of these little specimens here and the suggestion that we might be able to stage another encounter with the spiders should be sufficient to loosen his tongue.
Do you want me to come back with you, sir?
Why, what do you want to do?
Well, I thought it might be an idea, while there's a lull in the proceedings, to get back to my flat and get a change of clothes. All my things went when the car blew up, as you know.
Yes, yes, I'd forgotten that.
I could spend the night at the flat, wait there till Betsy Horrock and Snowy White arrive. They should be there early if they've travelled overnight, as I expect they have. Then Snowy and I could come along to your place all ready for action tomorrow morning.
Oh, sounds a pretty sane proposition to me. By tomorrow morning, this chappie should be ready to talk. And once we've got a line on Kramer, we can really get moving. One thing, though.
Oh, what?
Don't get taking unnecessary risks.
Oh, don't worry.
These people are desperate, Barton. You've had two warnings from them, both of which you've disregarded. They won't waste time on further warnings, so don't take any chances.
Not one.
Yes, I know your type. Anything for a spot of fun and games. But this thing is too big to muck up through being overeager. One point particularly.
Yes?
Don't, whatever you do, take any action without keeping me or my office advised of what you're doing. Here's my phone number.
Oh, thanks.
Ask for MO13. They'll put you straight through. But don't go heading off on any wild goose chases without notifying me.
Righto, sir. I'll be discretion itself.
Where do you want dropping?
Banwell Street, number 83.
Oh, Carter will know it. Everything's clear, then. You'll be round at my office with Snowy White as early as you can. We'll grill this chappie there and then, and see if we can start trailing Kramer.
Action stations, eh? Ah, but a spot of shut-eye first, thank heavens.
What's the matter? Oh, come in, come in.
Morning, sir. Nice morning.
Oh, hello, Betsy. Just got back.
Yes, Mr. Dick, sir. Me and Mr. White got in about an hour ago. Peeped in and seen you was in bed, so we got on with some breakfast. Here's a cup of tea.
Oh, good old Betsy, you're a gem. Do you say Snowy's here?
Yes, in the kitchen, gormandizing.
Ask him to come along, Betsy, will you? I'll be down in two shakes. Have a decent journey.
Oh, thanks to Mr. White. He wangled us a couple of corner seats, just like magic. Train was crowded, too.
Trust old Snowy. Get any sleep?
What, me? Sleep in a train all amongst strangers? Why, sir, Ola could turn his grave at the very idea.
You must be tired, then. You get to bed, Betsy. Snowy and I can fix the meal.
Oh, not I, sir. You come and have your breakfast proper. Me go to bed? Never heard of such a thing. I'll tell Mr. White to come along.
Ah, hello, Snowy. How's the head?
Oh, that's all right, sir. Just locked to meet the black what done it, that's all.
You got here a second sounding?
Yes, more by luck than good management.
Why? More trouble?
First the car blew up. Then they doped the pilot and the plane nearly crashed. After which we got to Colonel Gardner's office and some charming individual had so fixed the lift that when a member of the party stepped onto it, he fell down three stories. Finally, we got chased round a laboratory by a giant spider. Otherwise, things have been pretty quiet.
Laugh a duck, sir. And you left me out of it?
Oh, sorry, Snowy. Wasn't my fault. In any case, you just got a nasty old smack on the bean. You weren't really fit for action. Anyway, we've captured a fellow whom we think to be one of Kramer's crowd. Colonel Gardner has taken him along. He was unconscious last night, so we couldn't question him then. You and I are going along to Colonel Gardner's office as soon as we've finished breakfast. From then on, we may, I think, look forward to a fair amount of excitement.
Just the job.
I'll put you into the picture a little more while we're having breakfast. In the meantime, take this key, and in the right-hand drawer of my bureau downstairs, you'll find an automatic. Load it, and keep it handy from now on.
Oh, one of them sort of shows, eh?
Definitely one of them sort of shows. Now, I'll have a shave and a shower and be with you in a jiffy.
That's better. With that little lot inside of me, I'll feel ready for anything. Bring on your Kramer. I'll attend to him.
I think you've got most of the important points of this show now, Snowy.
As far as I can see, the situation is pretty straightforward. So long as we've got Wrangle's formula and Kramer ain't, well, he can't do very much. On the other hand, it looks as though that's the only thing that's stopping friend Kramer from having a complete walkover.
Now that's it. Oh, there's one other point. Although the last time I saw Sir Archibald Wrangle, he was pretty well under the weather, one leg broken and a collarbone busted, there's no doubt that we mustn't rule out the possibility of Kramer attempting to kidnap him. He'd be just as useful as the formula to Kramer, more so, in fact.
On the whole, sir, it looks as though it's time we moved over to the attack.
Snowy, you took the very words out of my mouth. Now, if we can convince Colonel Gardner of that this morning, why,
Life becomes one long, blissful dream.
Oh, Mr. Dick, excuse me, but he's over the road. I just seen him, honest, with my own eyes.
Seen who?
Why, him, the man from the darts club. The man what fixed that gun in your bedroom down at the cottage and nearly blew your head off, Mr. Dick. The tall chap with the Anthony Eden hat and the brown Macintosh.
What? Him what conked me on the head? Where?
Over the other side of the road. Look, come to the window.
Where? Why, Jiminy, Betsy, you're right.
Where? Where is he? The parish.
I can't see you, man. Don't blast his fingers. He just looked up.
Come on, sir.
It's the man, all right. He's off, too. Back later, Betsy.
Be careful, sir. He's the wrong one. Take care, Mr. Dick.
Here he goes, sir. He's got a car waiting. Here's the taxi, sir. Boy, taxi! Follow that car. Quick, driver. There's a quid for you if you don't lose him.
Good enough, sir. Up in.
He's away, all right. Step on it.
Don't worry, sir. We'll keep on his tail. Looks like he's heading for the river.
Got a pencil, Snowy? I'll drop a note to Colonel Gardner in case anything goes wrong. You watch the chase.
We're doing fine, sir. Tailing him nicely.
Good. Now, dear Colonel, on the track of man in Homburg hat who knifed Jimmy Lowe, leaving taxi driver with this note for you. We left...
He's stopping, sir.
What, already?
Blimey, that was quick. He's hopped off and the car's gone on.
Probably hopes we'll follow the car. Hold it, driver.
Think he dodged through that doorway over there, sir?
That warehouse? They're probably hoping to give us a slip. Here, driver, wait for 10 minutes. If we don't come out of that doorway, then take this note as quick as you can to Colonel Gardner, War Office. I'll finish the note. What's the name of the warehouse?
Espinall's Tea Warehouse.
Okay, sir, I know the place. I'll bring him back here if you don't come out.
Good man. Give us 10 minutes. Come on, Snowy. Don't forget, driver. Colonel Gardner, War Office.
I won't forget, sir. Leave it to me. I won't forget. Colonel Gardner, War Office.
Good lad. We'll see you don't regret it. Come on, Snowy. We're on the trail.
Colonel Gardner, War Office.
What a blooming hope. What a pair of suckers. Took the bait as easy as kiss your hand. Take this note to Colonel Gardner. Out in 10 minutes.
Lummy, what a hope.
Sam.
Oh, hello, Professor.
They've gone in, haven't they?
Yes, Professor. It worked like a charm. They can give me a quid to take a note to Colonel Gardner.
Nice work, Sam. Nice work.
Beat it now. Go on, beat it. The leader will attend to Mr. Barton and his friend in the leader's own inimitable way.
Well, all I can say is heaven help him, Professor, if they're left to his tender mercies.
What is the meaning of this trap? Are Dick Barton and Snowy White walking unwittingly into Kramer's clutches? What lies on the other side of the warehouse door?